Ja, velkommen til NUG sitt månedlige medlemsmøte. Vi starter opp for høsten nå, og det blir interessant å se hva vi får plass til videre ut i høsten. Hvis noen som har forslag til tema, så er det bare å nevne det for meg, eller sende e-post til oss som arrangerer. Etter møtet så drar vi på Alexandros og får noe av leskestrupen med og en matbit. Så de som har lyst til å være med dit får bare slenge seg med når vi går oppover. Og jeg kommer til å sende rundt en lista så vi får tallet på hvor mange som var her. Og de som har lyst til å få informasjon om fremtidige møter, bare sette opp e-postadressen, skal vi få dere på e-postlisten. Når det er sagt, så er det jo på tide å introdusere dagens tema. Det er jo et prosjekt som har gått over mange år, og mannen bak har jo vært en av de som har vært pioner på området med systemadministrasjonsundervisning i Norge. Jeg har jo hatt glede av å kjenne han i mange år, og vi har jo diskutert mye interessante ting opp gjennom tiden. Han har jobbet på Høgskolen i Oslo i en årrekke med systemadministrasjon og nettverksadministrasjon, og har skrevet en masse bøker, holdt foredrag for Usenix innenfor relevante konferanser, og er en glede å ha hatt for å presentere sitt never-ending project, CF Engine. Vær så god, Mark Burgess.
Takk skal du ha. So I promised I would speak English in case we don't know who is out there on the far reaches of the galaxy. So if that's okay with everyone, I'll continue in English. So the subject of configuration management is now pretty well known in the open source community. And CF Engine as a project has been around since 1993, as Petter said. And it's still going strong, and we're not running out of ideas anytime soon. And so it's great to come here and actually summarize what's been going on in the last couple of years, because the last couple of years of CF Engine have probably been one of the most active development periods for the CF Engine project as a whole. As some of you probably know, a couple of years ago, we started a company to develop, to support the future of CF Engine, and since then, there have been more resources to carrying the project forward. So these are exciting times in terms of development of configuration management. So I thought I'd just start out by sketching out the problem of configuration management for anybody that might not be completely familiar with it, and then I'll go to some of the history and explain some of the principles and features of CF Engine. So the challenge that I realized back in 1993 was that we need to be able to separate the design of systems from the implementation of the systems in pretty much the same way that today we separate design and implementation in many other areas, in software design, implementation, in web design. We have style sheets that take care of the look and feel, and then we have the implementation in terms of HTML. We can think of CF Engine and configuration management tools in some way as being like style sheets for operating systems somehow, deciding how they should look. And the reason to separate them is pretty obvious. It's the classic argument that humans are really good at thinking and planning and designing. They're not really good at implementing stuff. You try to be consistent in the implementation of one or two systems, maybe you're lucky. 100 machines, forget it. 1,000 machines, you're probably dead by then anyway. Machines are really good at doing consistent implementation. They're not very good at designing or planning. So separation of duties is a good state of affairs. So that's pretty much the idea. And as I say, it's like style sheets in the web. We're trying to separate how we want things to look from how we want things to be implemented. The difference, of course, between style sheets and systems is that your web pages aren't usually changing behind your back, whereas computer systems are. Computer systems are not fix them once and then they stay fixed forever. You fix them once and then they gradually decay or erode or get worse. The state of the system gets worse because disks fill up, users use the system, things are interacting with the system all of the time, like anything that interacts with the real world, it degrades over time by its interaction. So we need to maintain computer systems, and this was the idea for CF Engine. We want a system for continuous maintenance of system changes, because systems are not deterministic or predictable. So what was my answer to this? What was CF Engine? CF Engine is an agent-based system for change management originally, and it's grown to encompass quite a broad spectrum of it touches many aspects of systems now. Come back to that in a bit. And it's an agent-based system where an agent runs on every machine or computer in your network and maintains its state. It doesn't just implement the state once and then hope for the best. It's continuously monitoring and continuously updating the state of the system to make sure it's in a good state of repair. Or using the buzzwords of today, that the system is compliant with some kind of specification or policy. CF Engine was designed around a largely declarative language for specifying systems, because we want to separate the specification, the design, the statement of intent from the implementation of that intent. And a declarative way of describing it is a nice way to separate that. Nice thing about declarative as opposed to a traditional computer language where you take things in a sequence of operations is that the intention that you write down in this declarative language could be implemented perhaps in many different ways. And you're not bound to a particular implementation when you have this specification. There might be many ways of getting there. And that's up to the system to figure out. The other thing that CF Engine is a kind of monitoring system, because if you're doing some kind of maintenance and repair, you have no choice but to examine the system to monitor its current state as part of that process. So you cannot separate monitoring from configuration if you want to have maintenance. So CF Engine is an agent-based system that learns, observes the system, and learns about the system over time and tries to repair it according to a specification. And in that respect, it's gathering knowledge about the system, and that knowledge can be used to further plan the development of the system, to understand the patterns of behavior, the trends, all of the things that make human beings understand how the system is being used. Amazing. Apologies for the red alert. So we were talking about before the intermission. The intermission was at the start. We've all had super fun ice cream. And now back about CF Engine. So we're talking about CF Engine, and presumably some editing will take place. Apologies to live viewers. So CF Engine is an agent-based system for managing the maintenance of computers that separates your intentions, what you want about to happen with the system, from the implementation and maintenance of that state. And we call it desired state computing, or self-healing computing in some cases. And it has a largely declarative language. We'll come back to this with lots of arguments about what is really declarative and what isn't declarative. But we try to take a pragmatic approach to declaring how the system should look and having it implemented by CF Engine. And because the agent is in a good position to learn all about the system, it's got its fingers in the system, it sees everything and is maintaining the state of the system, it's able to learn about the patterns of behavior of the system and return that information to the designer to be able to plan capacity planning, resource planning, future trends, and so on. So knowledge management is an important aspect of system administration, which I think is going to become increasingly important in the next decade. CF Engine is class-based, model-based, some people say, self-documenting in the sense that because it's declarative, your intentions are expressed rather clearly. it brings some kind of standardization, because by expressing your intentions and having them documented and having them implemented automatically, it's very easy to spread a consistent view of the world. CF Engine is written in C and has rather few dependencies. It's quite small, it's just a few megabytes running on systems, and it's quite fast. Now, the thing that I think is the most important idea in CF Engine, which distinguishes CF Engine from all the others, so to speak, is the idea of convergence, or that's my word for self-healing. And this picture tries to describe or sum up the two approaches that you can undertake to do change management on a system. On the left-hand side is the traditional hill-climbing approach, and on the right-hand side is the CF Engine black hole kind of approach. In the hill-climbing approach, you start out from a known state, which is usually called the baseline state, or base camp in this case, and that has to be known. And then you, based on that state, you have a recipe, a sequence of actions that you perform in a particular order that take you along some path until you get to the state that you want to be in. So you specify a recipe or a set of directions from getting from a place you know to a place you want to get to. That's fine as long as you always start from exactly the place you know and nothing happens along the way that is unexpected. So if you really do start out with, say, a blank machine, bare metal machine, and apply the same recipe, you will get to the same state. The trouble with this view is that if anything unexpected happens along the way, this recipe no longer works. This path will break, and you will not be able to implement this desired state. Worse than that, if you repeat this set of instructions more than once, you don't just get to there, you get to somewhere else entirely. So it's not convergent, it's not repeatable. It cannot be repeated, because repeating it would then break the system. You're only allowed to do it once from a very special known state. This approach makes this kind of system configuration very fragile. It's fragile to the initial state, it's fragile to anything that happens along the way, and it's fragile to accidentally doing it twice or more times. So this isn't a very good repeatable way of maintaining a system. The alternative to that, which is the CF Engine approach, is to say, turn the mountain upside down and throw yourself off the top so you roll down into the valley. And you define your ideal state as the bottom of this valley, so that no matter where you start from, the initial state no longer matters. No matter where you start from, you will always end up in a desired state. This is, of course, just an analogy, but it's possible to implement this technically by holding to a few principles, which CF Engine does. So I claim that the approach that CF Engine takes is much like this black hole approach, where if the system should get out of compliance somewhere, this ball rolls out of its hole, then it will roll back into this hole, a well-defined, policy-defined state. So that's the key point of CF Engine, which I believe is the most important aspect of configuration automation. So to a little bit of history, CF Engine was introduced at the University of Oslo in 1993. It was introduced as a cross-platform interface, because back in those days we had all kinds of machines. It was AIX, it was Apollo, it was HP. It was Sun 3, Sun 4, Solaris was just coming up at that time, Linux wasn't even heard of. All kinds of different Unixes, and these were more different than the Unixes we see today, even. They had differences in the commands, in the options to the commands, and trying to make scripts in the old-fashioned way was just difficult because there were so many variations to take care of. So we wanted a platform-independent approach to specifying system configuration. And that's where CF Engine really started from. We also wanted it to be hands-free because we wanted it to be able to scale and wanted it to be consistent, and I didn't want to be the one making the changes. I had other things to do. So hands-free, consistency, and scalability were definitely our principles. And then many years passed, And it didn't really revisit the idea behind CF Engine until 1998. In 1998, I was in Boston, and, well, I should start the year before, I was in San Diego in 97, and I was trying to explain what CF Engine was about, and I was having trouble explaining the concept of self-healing. This term didn't exist then. And on the plane going home, I actually got sick and thought, as I was flying in misery with my nose running and feeling miserable, that actually illness is quite a good analogy for system maintenance. If you want to keep the system healthy, then maybe this is a good way of looking at the idea. So I went back to Boston the year afterwards and presented a paper called Computer Immunology, or Self-Healing, which was about this idea of self-healing systems, systems that could repair their own faults, learn from the behavior, and utilize everything we know about the system to bring it into a good state, a policy-defined, healthy state. Over the period 1999 to 2002, we formalized this idea, wrote down the theory, published it. So this is now quite well understood. I would say we now understand how to do configuration management in a convergent, repeatable, reliable way. So all of this nice little black hole picture summarizes a picture of how it works, but we can prove that it's possible to implement this kind of picture also in practice. Of course, in the meantime, Linux came along, and Linux has simplified the landscape a lot. It's standardized Unix quite a lot. It's brought better tools. The GNU tools are much better than the old Unix tools. And so everything has become rather easier than it used to be. But still, there are many problems that configuration management is needed for. From Red Alert to Play School. In 2003, we reached a point where I think everything that we'd learned in CF Engine going from 1993 to 2003 over that 10-year time came to the point where we'd made a lot of mistakes, we learned a lot along the way, but it was time to reevaluate what worked and what didn't work. And there really wasn't a model available to make that evaluation. There are no theories in computer science about the way that CF Engine worked as a distributed system working in this kind of way. So we had to invent a theory, come up with a theory. And that theory was promise theory, which we spent 5 years developing. And after those 5 years, I sat down and rewrote CF Engine as we knew it into what is now today CF Engine 3 to implement this model. The good thing about a model, a theory, is that it gives you a consistent picture of what you're trying to do. It gives you a simple set of principles to follow so that you don't have to guess. If you can follow principles, everything stays tidy, it stays simple, and we're actually able to reduce the number of things and commands and things to express in CF Engine 3. A good example was file editing, which CF Engine is quite good at. In CF Engine version 2, there were 98, don't ask me how this happened, but there are 98 different commands to edit files. In CF Engine 3, we managed to reduce those to 4 commands with parameters. So simplifying something is a big deal. Simplifying something is much harder than making something more complicated. And so we put in a lot of work to doing that and rewrote CF Engine entirely. And then 2008, CF Engine 3 was released as a promise engine, and that's what we have today. I think what's important about CF Engine is that there are principles behind it. That's what's kept CF Engine safe. It's kept it secure. There have only been 3 reported security advisories for CF Engine in, was it now, 17, 18 years. And that's not because I'm a super programmer, it's because the principles that CF Engine keeps to are basically secure principles. There aren't many ways in which somebody could try to attack that system. One important principle is autonomy of control. Each individual machine is responsible for its own state. It doesn't get, it's not allowed to be sent information from outside. That's a good security principle because it means that you're not lying down flat on a railway track waiting to be run over by instructions from some central command. you are taking responsibility for yourself and you're making the changes yourself. And you might accept advice, you might offer to follow the instructions of or the suggestions of a central node, but you don't have to. So nobody is allowed to overrun your system from outside. It's pretty important. It's also a good scalability principle, because if each machine is responsible for its own state, then each machine is doing its own work and there's no bottleneck, no central bottleneck in the system. We have separation of declaration from implementation. So we thing we already mentioned, the definition of the policy of the system, the state of the system is separate from the implementation, important principle. It's pragmatic. We can't, CF Engine is not about trying to make, trying to impose principles, it's trying to use principles as far as they work, and then if you have to bend those principles to make something practical, then you do that. There are lots of systems in modern computers that interact. Over the last few years, we've seen package systems become very popular, RPMs, DEB packages, and so on. This has greatly simplified the upgrade of operating systems. Those systems, in some way, could conflict with a configuration management system. So it's important not to be too fussy about it and make them fight each other, but they have to live with each other. So we need a pragmatic solution to make things work together rather than fight each other. Another important principle is to avoid the use of the network unnecessarily. If you build a configuration system that depends on the existence of the network, it's going to break. Back in 93, the problem was Ethernet. Ethernet was unreliable, you know, the old cables. Today, Ethernet is very reliable, but it's wireless. Now we have wireless, so wireless is unreliable. We have mobility. We have different issues, but the same problems coming back. The network is not as reliable as we'd like to think. Systems still have to be configured, and they still have to be protected, even when they're offline or when they can't be reached. So opportunistic use of the network is important. CF Engine is pull-based, not push-based. Again, autonomy of the systems. You're not allowed to force an agent to do something against its will. It has to voluntarily pull it or subscribe to it. And this final thing, running CF Engine many times should not have a bad effect on the system. So no matter how many times you run CF Engine, it should never get worse. It should just converge to this black hole, ideal, healthy state. So these are the principles that I've kept to over the years, even as people have tried to get me to bend things even farther. But I think these are very important principles that keep CF Engine a successful system. What's the architecture? Well, we have many autonomous agents. You can build actually any kind of system you like with CF Engine. It has no fixed architecture. It's a peer-to-peer communication model. So you can set up a centralized system from that if you want, or you can separate each man for himself, or you can have little groups, or you can create any kind of network topology you like. And that means you can make it as centralized or as decentralized as you like. Decentralized customers are often people like the Navy. Lots of navies use CF Engine because it works on ships when they're not in port. You know, they have maybe a thin bandwidth line to port when they're in port, and then when they're out at sea or under the sea in a submarine, it doesn't work anymore. So forget the network. Shipping companies, same problem. But the way people normally use CF Engine is to create some kind of centralized management point. Excuse me. And the point is not a single point of control, but a single point of change. So a single point where you make your decisions, and then those decisions spread out to wherever they need to be, at whatever rate they need to do so. So there's no limitation in the kind of structures that you can build, but it's important that in order to have consistency, there's just a single point of change. Doesn't mean a single point of command. So this principle of autonomy means that you can still grant every individual laptop in the network the power to override decisions if they want to, but at the same time, provide a helpful service to configure systems applying expert knowledge to systems. So this is the way CF Engine is normally deployed: single point of definition, and then some servers that make the policy available, and everybody else subscribes to that policy. And then each one of these nodes at the end is responsible for managing itself. None of the instructions are coming from here. We can't think of this as being a change being made forces these machines to do something. It's rather, we make a change here in dialogue with some versioning system, and then we make these policies available, and then these machines subscribing to this model usually just agree to follow this model and configure themselves. Of course, if the network goes away, it still works. It just means they don't maybe have access to the latest updates of the policy, but they still have an acceptable version of policy that works. So how does the agent work? Well, the agent is on every machine, and it wakes up and says, where am I? What kind of system is this? Is it Linux? Is it Red Hat Linux? SUSE Linux? Is it Solaris? Is it, what version is it? Where am I? What network am I on? What's my IP address? And it classifies its environment. And then it tries to pick out what rules and instructions and suggestions have been made for this environment, to pick out the best configuration for this environment. And the promises that are coded in CF Engine, everything in CF Engine is a promise. For we might say, we promise that on systems, on Solaris systems, the file etc/fstab, vfstab, will have certain contents and certain things put into it. On this network, it's going to have a different content, and on that network, these processes should be running on this system, so that the names of these files are changing, processes are changing. On these machines, we want this to be a generic web service, so it's going to bring up a web service, and if the web service is down, it's going to be restarted. All of these promises are going to be tied to specific environments, specific specifications of machines. And then CF Engine looks at this, evaluates the situation, and sees if anything needs to be repaired. If it needs to be repaired, it fixes it. And then, of course, it either reports on the outcome or it doesn't. Reporting is something that occurs in different... We go through phases with reporting. In the beginning, everybody wants to see every change that happens on a system. That works on one machine, maybe two. And then once you get to 10 or 100, it's way too much information. So you tend to switch it all off. And then as the number of machines grows even farther, you want to have some summary report of what's going on. Or you want to have some overview. So as you get to larger sort of enterprise situations, then you get the need for reporting comes back. So we'll mention this a bit later. I claim that CF Engine is service-oriented in a number of ways. It's service-oriented in the sense that each machine is promising its specification to the world. It's providing this as a service. In much the same way as cloud computing is like platform as a service, configuration management is configuration as a service. It's saying, I promise to have this particular configuration in these patterns around my network in order to fulfill certain functions. CF Engine is class-oriented in that it describes patches and patterns within the network. Those patterns and structures do not have to be hierarchical. Nearly every system that computer scientists have created have been hierarchical systems. Hierarchies scale very badly because they introduce bottlenecks. Every point in a hierarchy is a bottleneck. So hierarchies aren't that great for scaling. So CF Engine tries to avoid scaling issues by avoiding hierarchies. But it allows you things for grouping together either machines in groups, in patches, in clusters, for abstracting names for groups, for declaring abstract properties. In other words, just coming up with a good painting of what your network is supposed to look like and allowing you to describe that in a language which then gets implemented. Promises is the word that CF Engine uses for these configuration settings. CF Engine has become a device to keep promises about the system. And we have lots of standard libraries of methods so that keeping these promises can be fairly simple. And here's just a simple example. Suppose, you know, you want a machine to be a web server. Then you may recognize from this file, it's a tiny part of a huge set of files that the Apache web server uses to configure. And if you want to add a module to the Apache web server, say PHP, you've got to find this file amongst the 10, 20 files for Apache. And you've got to find this line in this file amongst all these comments and junk, this red line. And then you've got to edit it. And doing that on one machine, even an experienced person, is going to take 5-10 minutes. Doing it on 100 machines or 1,000 machines in a web farm, forget it. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just say, here's a list of modules that I want to have, and another list of modules that I definitely don't want to have, and then you just paste in a bit of code from some library, and then CF Engine makes sure that that is true. And you never have to think about it again. So if somebody were to take away one of these modules, CF Engine would put it back. If someone were to add one of these, CF Engine would take it away. And then the state of that is being maintained all the time. It rolls back into its hole. So that's the way that CF Engine works. And this idea of making lists actually is sort of a paradigm for using CF Engine 3, which I think is quite successful. It's trying to turn management basically into access control lists, things you want and things you don't want, things that are allowed and things that are denied. And it's a very simple way of thinking about many different problems. Petr?
Are the comments optional in lists?
Are the comments optional in lists?
The commas?
The commas, sorry. No, the commas are necessary in the list.
Only one is missing.
You can have commas at the end or you can leave them out. It's like Perl, you can put commas at the ends
first
if you
want. First line, first list.
Oops, that's a typo. Sorry, it's my slide. So here's just another excerpt of CF Engine 3 code. It can get quite hairy when you've got very complex configuration requirements. This is an excerpt of the STIGS. This is a military standard, hardening standard that they use in the US government. But what's nice about the ability to represent patterns in CF Engine 3 is you can abstract things into these lists. So here's a list of all of the files that are going to have permission 600, say. And we could separate that into a list and then make one rule for all of those files, which we just have one statement of intent, which is very small, very clear. And we can add a comment to explain exactly what's going on. And we can add various attributes, which hopefully express the intention behind the system rather clearly. And one of the things we've added in CF Engine 3 is the ability to implement comments that don't just get thrown away, like these hash comments in shell scripts, but these comments follow this promise throughout its life cycle. So if something goes wrong with this promise, this comment will appear in log files, in error messages, in reports that have to do with this thing here. So we're able to point out why this error message occurred, what it was trying to do when it occurred, and hopefully this will lead to a greater understanding of what's going on in the system. So inbuilt documentation is a theme that has come into CF Engine increasingly. Here's another thing with CF Engine 3. It's all about integration with other things. I mentioned package management. Here's integration with libvirt, the virtualization library that Red Hat is developing. So if you want to manage virtual machines with CF Engine, you can integrate with libvirt and even encapsulate and parameterize libvirt's horrible, hideous XML. Did I say hideous? Beautiful XML configuration. Where actually you're supposed to have a different, or you need a different file for each machine almost. But by putting it into CF Engine, you can use variables here and expand variables and actually reduce the amount of information that you need to represent a large amount of configuration. So the ability to represent information in a clear way is integral to being able to manage configuration systems. And it's really about knowledge management. Here's a comment. I mentioned it briefly a minute ago. Scalability is limited by bottlenecks. And bottlenecks are limited by inter-host communication. So we try to avoid inter-host communication. We also try to avoid links between parts of the configuration dependencies. These also create bottlenecks and fragility in the system. Research shows that hierarchies in inheritance are pretty fragile because they create these single points of failure throughout a tree. Each point in a tree is essentially a point of failure. And so by avoiding this kind of tree-like hierarchical approach, we avoid this fragility of configuration. The CF Engine 3 approach is the opposite of that, if you like. It's not only every machine for itself, but every rule or every pattern for itself. We try to make each specification independent of others, avoid dependency entirely. People often thought that putting things into hierarchies was a way of keeping track of things. You put things into a box, a subdirectory, you know where it is. But oftentimes, you're just hiding it, so you don't know where it is. When these things get big, they either become too broad or too deep. There are other ways of managing that knowledge and keeping track of stuff. And we've built into CF Engine 3 semantic web technology, topic map technology, to be able to trace information throughout the system as an alternative to using hierarchies, which we believe are fragile. So promise theory is all about building networks of independent things that manage themselves and keep promises. And promise theory explains the syntax and the grammar of CF Engine, keeps it simple. So in fact, there's only one syntax for everything in CF Engine 3. In CF Engine 2, it was kind of a mess. It got out of control because we didn't have a model. But in CF Engine 3, everything, every promise has an identical syntactic structure. It's very easy to remember. So the model is that a configuration is a set of promises, and the patterns where you want these promises to be kept. There might be patterns in the network, patterns of files, like we saw these STIGs, patterns of machines by their function, their role. Lots of different ways of defining these patterns, but by defining a rule for a pattern instead of a rule for each machine, we compress the information. It's a kind of data compression. This is what data compression algorithms do, right? They look for common features and then they replace those many common instances with a single, much smaller specification. This access control list idiom that I showed you a minute ago seems to work really well. It's a really simple way of defining a lot of configuration problems. If we can reduce things to lists, it makes it easy for people to understand. So what are the solution areas for CF Engine? Well, the whole system lifecycle, I would say, from building machines to deploying them, managing them, auditing them. So from the first Pixie boot, bare metal boot, you can integrate CF Engine into the kickstart, plug the machine into the network, it boots up, CF Engine starts, it converts your basic system into a ready-made, tailored service node in just a matter of seconds. Doesn't matter if it's on the cloud or if it's on if it's under the desk here. It really doesn't matter where the machine is. CF Engine's capabilities currently include all kinds of things: file management, process management, software packaging, services. It runs on Windows, Unix systems natively. It ties in with virtual management, virtual machine management, distributed scheduling, NFS, all kinds of areas, and of course this is expanding all the time. So basically, anything that you really want to be able to do in configuration management, you can do within the framework of CF Engine. If there are any things that are so specialized that it's awkward in CF Engine, there's no problem in writing a little module or a script that can be embedded within CF Engine to extend its capabilities. But the strategy is to not ask people to script for themselves. It's to give as much power in the language as is possible. And then, and this, I believe, is the way to build functional systems from the bottom up. First, you provide all the capabilities from the bottom up, and then you make them simpler. From the bottom up, everything looks complicated and low level. But then you build from the bottom, and you add interfaces, simplifications, libraries, helper functions that make it look simple again. That's the way you avoid getting out of control, trying to start from the top down, trying to implement stuff and divide and conquer usually leads to more things than group and succeed. CF Engine is being used in banks, military, HPC installations, universities, you name it. It's all over the world. It's on, well, we reckon, it's hard to count, of course, because it's open source, but we reckon a conservative estimate is about 1 million machines, about 5,000 companies registered, organizations registered with us. Future areas, routing, network management, all kinds of things that we haven't started to look at yet, which fall within CF Engine's model quite easily. Integrating routers and switches would be quite easy these days. They're all Linux machines these days. Knowledge management, I believe, is the big challenge for the next decade. We know how to do configuration management now. We know how to do this convergent change management and to do it successfully. What's difficult is the complexity of systems. And there is real complexity and artificial complexity. Artificial complexity is getting out of control because you just make a mess. You could simplify it. Real complexity is necessary complexity. Some people do have complex requirements, and you need to be able to cope with that. And that's really what we've designed CF Engine to do. So knowledge management includes things like designing with different versions to your design, possibly having multiple channels to your configuration. So like flipping on the TV, you know, I want this channel for these systems over here, and I want this channel for these systems over there. You may want to actually separate two phases of configuration. Or you might want to have a waterfall where you have a new version coming in on a few machines. It's gradually expanding more and more machines until you've got the main standard policy for all of the machines. So lots of different ways you might want to manage your configuration. This is knowledge management. And we're trying to build in tools for knowledge management because that is the challenge of big systems. CF Engine includes automated documentation these days based on promise theory and ISO 13250 topic maps. Topic maps are a form of semantic web that predate the web. Actually, they go back to library index systems in the early 90s. And of course, there will be a GUI, which will be a part of this. And the GUI has some sort of nice summaries. Managers apparently just need the three red lights, you know, the red, the yellow, and the green. And then more technical people want to be able to see various levels of reporting, of maybe performance management, you know, which patches are available, system statistics, and so on and so forth. All of this is integrated into CF Engine 3. So who's using CF Engine? I mentioned these, 2,000 registered organizations and about 1 million machines. And these are the stats from the website. You see that most users are using Linux, about 50%, or more than 50%. Then it's Solaris, and then surprisingly Windows was number three. This is a big surprise to me. Then AIX, BSDs, HPUX, macOS, and so on. It fizzles out. This is, if you're scientific, this is actually a beautiful power law. These are users who registered on our website since 2008 when we started tracking these things, which shows that CF Engine is not declining in popularity by any means. And I think the reason for this, even though more and more tools are appearing to do this kind of thing, this entire space of configuration management is growing. People who have never had any kind of solution are now coming looking for solutions. These are the sizes of the machine parks being run by CF Engine. Again, another beautiful power law. So most people have about 10, you know, tens of machines. Less have hundreds, thousands, and a few tens of machines. Tens of installations have tens of thousands of machines. The largest installation I know of is about 50,000 computers on a single CF Engine policy. A personal remark about how successful CF Engine has been. I would say that although CF Engine is widespread, a lot of users aren't using it in the way that it was intended to do. A lot of people are using CF Engine in a not in a good way. You see people embedding lots of shell commands within the framework of CF Engine, using CF Engine essentially as a fancy version of cron, and then writing their own scripts instead of using the built-in functionality. The reason that's bad is that the built-in functionality has this property of convergence, and the built-in shell commands don't. So by not using the built-in stuff, you're not getting the full benefits of the technology. So a lot of people aren't using it very well. And I would say that industry sophistication in configuration management is only catching up very, very slowly. When I think back to when my first conferences that I went to in the 90s and system administrators today, I don't see a huge change in the way people are working. I think the tools have gotten better, but the way system administrators work has not improved. We haven't learned very much over those 20 years. We're still trying to use new tools in old ways. Things like, I decided I'm going to write an article, the three myths that are holding system administration back. One is that you roll things out and then you roll them back and you roll them around, and this roll word is very bad. And we can go into the other ones another time, but there are good ways of working. I believe there are modern ways of working, and the industry is slowly catching up to these. And then there are some star users, people who really make me proud of the work that I put into CF Engine, who really understand the theory behind it and use it really well. And some of the biggest sites using CF Engine, and some of the biggest companies actually, that's when I feel really good that the work that I've done has been to good use. What's coming up? We've got so much stuff we could implement. For the next 10 years, we could be implementing stuff in CF Engine. But I think the main things, the important things, are knowledge management, integrated knowledge management, so that we really understand the systems we're creating. GUI, for the commercial users, this is delicate balancing act between people who like the technical, hands-on, language-based approach and people who want to have some kind of console. And we're trying to find good ways of doing that. Unifying network and server management, very important. All of the embedded devices, a colleague of mine from Jurvik University College had CF Engine running on his Nokia telephone. So embedded devices, because CF Engine is very lightweight, it runs very well on these embedded devices. All the Linksys routers, you know, every device these days is practically is a Linux box. My TV, my new Philips TV, came with a copy of the GNU public license that fell out of the box. Everything is a Linux machine these days. So conclusions. CF Engine is out there. CF Engine version 3 is, I would say, a huge improvement over the earlier versions. It's really become mature and much simpler. Everyone that has used 3 thinks that it's much simpler than it used to be. Has the problem changed since we started coding in 1993? Originally, CF Engine was addressing variation in the network, the incompatibility of different operating systems. That's much better today. So I think the problem has changed a little bit. Today it's about scale, rapid growth, managing an increasingly complex variety of applications and services in a consistent way. I have a friend who has a web server, an important web server running here in Oslo. It's always going down, it's always crashing, and they don't have any automation to restart this automatically. It's crazy. They have to phone a guy who's on holiday, who phones another guy, who restarts the system manually. That kind of thing shouldn't be happening today. But that's where we're at. And the other main challenge, I believe, is knowledge management, how we understand a huge variety of machines, complex systems, interactions, and reduce all of that complexity to its smallest necessary but sufficient amount of complexity. That, I think, is the challenge going forward. So with that, and apologies for the interruption, thank you very much.
Questions?
Yes. Oh, I don't mind actually. If you want to,
I just wonder if you are going to write an extension to this CF engine. Is there any way for like a script to take advantage of this conversion property of CF engine?
So there are different ways that you can extend CF Engine now. You can write scripts in CF Engine's language, of course, and the capabilities in CF Engine 3 are much stronger than they were in CF Engine 2. You can create subroutines within the CF Engine language to do a lot of things, and then of course you're always using, as long as you're using CF Engine's language, it's convergent. If you can't do that, then you can create modules in any other kind of language. And then you can access CF Engine's knowledge about the system through variables and classes. So you can get the information that CF Engine knows into your script and make use of that. But of course, it's up to you then to make sure that the changes you make are convergent, because you can always do something non-convergent, of course.
To what extent do you have anything which allows you to query your infrastructure and do, like, I'm using Chef, where you can, for instance, generate my Nagios config and my IPsec config based on which nodes that the Chef server in this instance knows about. So based on that, I can generate configuration very easily. Does CF Engine have anything similar to that?
Oh, you mean like to scan the current state of the system and turn it into a configuration?
No, so the way it is in Chef is you have a central server,
yeah,
which has a record of all the nodes,
yeah,
including their IP address, various data which is collected by a,
yep,
a small program. And any node can query that and search that index.
Right.
So you can ask a question. Could you please give me a list of all the nodes which have this receipt applied, or which are running Linux?
Right. So actually, you can do that kind of thing. I tend to not recommend it because it introduces network fragility. That if the network goes away, it breaks. Right. But actually, CF Engine has certain fault tolerant functions for reading data from a central repository. It doesn't have to be central either, it can be as decentralized as you like, but the client-server communications, you can collect information somewhere and then make that available to the other machines. You can make classes available to other machines, so you can signal machines with other machines and create quite complicated swarm behavior. The way that this is used normally, and when we deploy CF Engine commercially, everybody wants a central server, and we call it the policy server. And then this collects reports and data from all of the clients, and of course you can query that and ask for, you know, which of the machines have this, or show me all of the things that look like this. And then you can make that information available back to the machines again if you want to. How wise it is to do that, I think, depends a little bit on your environment and your particular needs. I tend to think that the more you can get away without exchanging that kind of information, the better, because it makes systems more robust. But the short answer then is yes, you can.
Right, two very quick questions. My first impression was that you're trying to make some kind of a Turing complete language here.
No, actually not, the opposite. Turing complete language allows you to, would be an imperative scripting language. CF Engine is designed specifically not to be that language. It doesn't want you to be able to do anything. It wants you only to be able to do those things that can be made stable. Only those kind of things that can be made into this black hole picture. And that excludes some things. So there are certain configurations that you can't make convergent with CF Engine system, where it expects to be able to repeat its instructions all the time. Some things are disallowed. So it's actually not a Turing complete system.
Do you have an example?
Adding, I don't know, it's hard to think of examples on the spot, but let's say you want to make a change to a file that contains the date, the current date. There's no way that that can ever be a convergent operation because the date is changing all the time. So that means you will always be adding something, always be changing it. So something like that would not be a recommended CF Engine policy.
Okay, and final question. Would you mind just going through 20 words? What's the difference between CF Engine and your competitors, like, well, Puppet, for example?
What's the difference? Well, CF Engine works. CF Engine is written in C. It's not written in a scripting language. There's very few dependencies, so it's very lightweight. A certain person in the room, which I won't mention, measured that it runs actually very fast compared to Puppet.
Philosophy-wise,
of course, Puppet came out of CF Engine in the sense that its self-healing approach came from CF Engine, and then Puppet took some of that. In my view, they went backwards a little bit, went the wrong way from there. And so I don't really agree with the approach that they took. But in some sense, they have retained some of this self-healing capability. Chef, I think, came out of Puppet, and they went back to a more kind of shell scripting approach, but written in a nicer language. But when we had the configuration summit in Boston recently, I learned that a lot of the philosophy in Chef is closer to CF Engine than Puppet. So it's a surprising, you know, these things are very subtle. It's very hard to compare these systems, I believe. I would say the most important, when I look at, and I don't claim to understand Puppet or Chef or any of these things, so I don't like really commenting on them because they should defend themselves. But when I look at them, I think if they look sort of superficially simple, but then as soon as you go beyond this most simple level, you have to open it up and start coding yourself. In CF Engine, I believe you can go a lot further without coding before that happens. And it will be convergent. And of course, the knowledge management, I don't think anybody else is thinking about knowledge management at all. So let's leave it at that.
I have two questions. With CF Engine 2, the error handling is not very good. Say you have a configuration setting you want to put in a file in etc. Yeah. Normally it will do that just fine. But today the hard disk is broken and the file system is read-only, and it's impossible to add anything to that configuration file, and CF Engine will try and then say nothing. Is that better with CF Engine 3?
I think so, yeah. And we struggled hard to find a good way to do error handling without just putting all of the burden on the user by printing error messages. So there are now return codes. Each promise that you try to execute essentially has return codes, which are the promise was kept, it was repaired, so it wasn't correct in the beginning, but now it is correct, and it couldn't be kept, so something went wrong. And there are a couple of different variations on couldn't keep it. And you can set classes based on or respond to those different outcomes differently. And I think that's the closest thing that I could think of that would scale without asking somebody to get interactively involved with the outcome. Something that would still be convergent, or if it wasn't able to converge, you could still do something convergent as a result of that, which would be useful. So I hope the answer is yes.
Yeah, we'll see. Another question. With CF Engine 2 and 1 as well, it's basically able to edit single line configuration files. And that's nice if you have that kind of configuration file. If you have ini files, if you have XML files, if you have apt configuration files with Perl-like structures. What kind of file system or file types can CF Engine 3 handle?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that one. Of course, you could not. When you say single lines, you just mean one line, but line by line.
Yeah.
In CF Engine 3, there's a concept of sections now, where you can identify a section which is to be edited within a file. So, for example, ini files have a header, and each header defines a new chapter, if you like. So you can say just edit this section, add to it, delete from it, make some changes. And of course, you can handle simple XML using that model as well, with a start and an end delimiter. The plan is actually to incorporate a special XML editing mode. We haven't actually implemented that yet, but most people actually get away with editing XML using the line-based approach, just by faking. As long as the XML is fairly tidy, you can identify the start and the end tags and edit that way. But of course, XML is a hierarchical language which requires a push-based automaton to edit it. It has parentheses. So, and to keep track of parentheses, you need a stack, and that means a special mode for getting it completely right. Some special cases of XML can be viewed as a regular language, so it can be handled by this simple line-based editing. But I think the editing, I mentioned these 98 commands, which are now 4. These 4 commands are much more powerful than the 98 used to be. So I think that's one area where the new model is really successful.
I have a question about the delegation of rights to do stuff to machines. We are, for our client computers, not the servers, we're using Marimba today, BMC. They are changing their name constantly. But in this system, we can delegate rights to our user support, so they can configure which programs machines should have and what types of configurations that they should have through a GUI.
Yep.
Is this possible, or do you have to make it yourself if you want to do this in CF Engine?
There is support for it, and it depends a little bit what you mean. If you're talking about just defining the configuration that gets sent or that gets published for these systems, CF Engine doesn't get involved in saying who is allowed to edit which file. But you could easily create some version control system to do that. In the commercial versions of CF Engine, where we're going to be addressing some of those issues through the GUI, as far as giving somebody the permission to execute a particular function on a particular machine, that's just, first of all, comment is that's not really the way CF Engine works. CF Engine is designed to have a configuration that is continuously being maintained. So you're not giving somebody permission to do something once. You're maybe giving somebody permission to do something many times. But there are ways to do that kind of thing as a special request. You can use something called the run agent to grant role-based access control to grant access to a user to activate a predefined set of policies which aren't normally executed, but they're already defined. I mentioned to you that you're not allowed to send instructions to systems from the outside. All of the instructions have to be there to begin with in the policy, but you might not want them to be in use. They can be sleeping. But you can grant role-based access to users to by username and password, or by public key, actually, to activate a sleeping set of policies on particular machines, which maybe answers part of your question. I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
I should maybe clarify a little. I mean that our user support might be wanting to give a machine a new program like MATLAB or OpenOffice or Firefox. This is things that we do today in Active Directory and in Marimba for the Linux machines. Yeah. And if we want to switch from Marimba to CF Engine for the clients, mm-hmm. we need some way for the user support themselves to be able to tell the system which programs the different machines should have. Not actually make the policies, just make sure that this machine will get this program and this machine will get this program.
Okay, yeah. Well, should we? There are lots of ways you could do that. We made a version of this for CERN, actually, that allowed users or users of laptops and personal workstations to define the programs and things that they wanted to be on their system, and to reject programs that they didn't want to be running, and to be able to stop CF Engine for a certain time, even to have the autonomy to be able to control the policy themselves. We made a system like that. That was fine. Another thing you could do would be to grant people access to manage certain lists, say in LDAP, and then CF Engine reads data from LDAP and configures systems in this way. Or you could have different parts of the policy editable by different people just using ordinary access control, file access control. The difficulty with that, I believe, is that if somebody can edit a CF Engine file, then in principle they could they could add any other kind of change function, but there are actually bits of CF Engine that only allow you to define variables and classes. So maybe that would be a good way to do it, actually. You could just grant access to a number of different files and have people even just edit them, with Emacs or VI or whatever they want. And that would work. So, anything that can convey information to CF Engine, edit a file, LDAP, some network service, NIS, as long as you can get the information into CF Engine, then you can create some kind of role-based access control.
Just one last thing. The commercial edition compared to the free edition, could you just elaborate a little what the differences are? What more do you get by going for the commercial edition?
Reporting, compliance, extensions like database management. The Windows port is only in the commercial version. The GUI interaction, searchability. Mostly that it's a compliance engine. The reporting is the thing that we find that people really want. When people come to us for the commercial version, it's usually for the reporting.
You mentioned that CF Engine was in a way also a monitoring system.
Yeah.
Is it powerful enough so that you don't have to use any other monitoring system?
Is it powerful enough? Well, that's actually something that the commercial version adds. It adds extended monitoring capabilities that allow you to extract data from system resources. So instead of having to write a script module, it gives you a sort of regular expression interface to be able to extract data from files and proc interfaces and different things, and then have them graphed and turned into variables, integrate those variables into the policy configuration and so on. Is it powerful enough? I would say that CF Engine is not trying to be a monitoring system, but in the course of trying to be a good configuration and knowledge system about your system behavior, it's picking up a lot of useful information that is good to have. It tends to display summaries and patterns rather than these sort of traditional moving line things. But you can extend CF Engine up to 100 different measured metrics. You're not allowed to go beyond 100 because it's trying to be scalable. And CF Engine is designed to be scalable first and to be a monitoring system third or fourth or something like this. So it puts scalability above everything else because we want to be able to make huge systems running CF Engine. And any kind of centralized monitoring is going to be a bottleneck, of course. So usually, I find people using the monitoring in CF Engine and liking it, finding stuff in CF Engine that they can't get from anything else, but at the same time they're running other things as well because, you know what it's like. You have sort of a thirst for knowledge about the system. You want to know more. So people deploy all kinds of monitoring systems. So powerful enough depends what you want to do.
Yeah, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much, Mark, for joining us and giving us some great inspiration.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
And here I have a small token of our appreciation. It's a small polar bear.
A small polar bear?
Yeah. The Nuug logo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thanks.